a few people going to be saved. Now you know, when I was in Miami 25 years ago and I got my green card, you know, the Lord said to my wife when we were praying whether to stay or to come back, go back to Jamaica and declare my righteousness. Amen? So that is my ministry. Go back to Jamaica and declare my righteousness. Praise God. Amen? So, are only a few people going to be saved? Amen. But Brother Dean, I want to keep it like that, right? Bring it over a little more. Yeah, right. Because I'm not going to change into the touch mode. Praise God. Amen. So let us pray. Father God, we pray that you'll give us wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, that we might know more and more what is the hope of your calling and what the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power that's available to us who believe. In the name of Jesus, I cast down every imagination and every high thing in our midst that would seek to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, for us to listen to your word, for us to embrace your word, for us to understand your word. We cast down every such hindrance now in the name of Jesus, and we bring each and every such thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Bless us with your truth. Holy Spirit, commune with us. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Alright. So Jesus was once asked that very question. Amen. So it's nothing new that I have asked. Jesus was asked that question. Praise God. And it says in Luke 13, 23 and 24, someone asked him, Lord, will only a few be saved? Praise God. Remember, in a previous message in this series, I spoke about cheap grace. Cheap grace. Some people have cheapened grace. They have violated grace. Lord, will only a few people be saved? He replied, work hard. You know what that means? It means to strive or to struggle. Can you imagine? To enter the narrow door to God's kingdom. For many will try to enter, but will fail. So Jesus is saying here that it takes hard work to be saved. But cheap grace tells us that you just go to the altar, you make a decision, and then you live as you choose to live, and you are assured of salvation. That's a lie. Amen? But examine the scripture for yourself. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So he said, work hard. Strive. Struggle. Sometimes I hear some brethren saying, they say to me, Pastor, but it's hard, you know. Sometimes it's a struggle to serve God. It's a struggle to keep on the road of salvation. Well, Jesus has acknowledged that you have to work hard, that you have to struggle, that you have to strive to enter the narrow door to to God's kingdom. It implies that some are partially in, some are out, some are partially in, and some who are partially in, they actually think that they are in. But we have to strive, we have to struggle. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Many speak of salvation in terms of conversion. In other words, when you come to the altar and you are converted, many think that you are saved and that's it. That from you come to the altar, you are saved and you don't have to do one additional thing. And they say that, you know, works is not in this. It's by faith. But we're going to see that that's an error. That's an error. Some say, I was saved long ago when I asked Jesus into my heart. That could be true or not true. Three, does the New Testament describe salvation as more than a one-time experience? Let's look and see. Scriptures indicate that true believers have three basic connections with salvation. Amen? One, past. They have been saved. Ephesians 2:8 tells us, God saved you by his grace when you believed. That's past tense. Amen? 1977, God saved me by his grace when I believed. When I walked to the altar with my wife spontaneously, and we gave our hearts to Jesus Christ. That's the past. I was saved in December 1977. That's the past. Present. They are being saved. We are being saved. What does the scripture say? It says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. So the first scripture tells us that we were saved. This scripture tells us that we are being saved. So salvation is not a one-off thing. Amen? As a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, not only were you saved when you came to the altar, whatever place you were when you gave your life to Jesus, but it is saying that we are being saved. It's a process. Amen? But we who are being saved know it's the very power of God. Hallelujah. So we are being saved. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then, future. It says they will be saved. Mark 24:13 says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Wow. So you have the past where you came to the altar and you were saved, and then in your journey you are being saved, and if you endure to the end, you will be saved. Wow. What do you think about that? Amen? Hallelujah. So, as we saw in this slide, we have to work hard. That present being saved is the phase in which we work hard, we strive, and we struggle to get to the end. And if we get to the end, praise God, like when Usain Bolt get to the, start, have a good start in the race. In the middle phase of the race, he has to position himself and run, and then he has to pass everybody and break the tape in order to win. You have to finish the race. And what it is saying is, if you don't finish the race, you will not be saved. You must finish the race. Amen? Hallelujah. So those who teach once save, always save, I always knew they were wrong. But when I saw this, I said, them definitely wrong. Amen? We have to work, strive to enter in. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Praise God. How are you doing thus far? How is your race? Have you been running the right race? Do you know that when Usain Bolt is running, that if he goes out of his lane, he's disqualified? In other words, if you go out of your lane, you get into somebody's lane, you get into a wrong lane, and you are disqualified. And Paul actually speaks about the danger. He describes salvation as a race and said that we have to be careful that we are not disqualified. Amen? We can be disqualified. So praise God. All right, so let's go a little further now. Praise God. Hold on here. That is not what I want. Praise God. Don't know how to get up here. All right. The past. We're going to go back to the past. When we were saved and we came to the altar, what happened? We were justified. In other words, the penalty of sin was upon each of us lives. We were condemned to death. We were guilty of sin. But justification came. We were justified by faith, and the penalty of sin was absolved once and for all at the beginning of our faith. Amen? Everybody understand that? If you don't understand it, ask me a question. Let me try and give it to you. Very important. Right? You were justified. To be justified means to be made right. Romans 6:23 says, or 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when we had faith in Jesus, we were justified by faith. We were therefore absolved once and for all from sin at the beginning of our faith. We're talking about our past, our sinful life up until that point. Amen? We were absolved. Yes.
Isn't it absolved from the penalty, which is death? Absolved from the penalty. Oh.
Remember that the death. All have sinned and come short The wages of sin is death. That it is death. The death means separation from God. And it also actually resulted in our dying, because God did not create us to die, but physical death and spiritual death, right? But in this life we're gonna die. But so we were absolved from the penalty of sin, the penalty of sin, which is death. Death being separated from God, and all the consequences that come with sin. Praise the Lord. You held up your hand, Lisa? Praise God. Amen. All right? So, when I came to the altar, I was under the sentence of death. And so the first thing that I was saved by being justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And I was absolved from eternal damnation. Right? I was absolved from eternal damnation and the curse of the law. Then, present. We are being saved. And that's where sanctification comes in. Sanctification is to be set apart unto God. To live as God would have us to live. That's sanctification. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of sanctification. By faith, the power of sin is broken progressively. And I want you to note those words. Broken progressively. It does not... There are some things in our lives where we might be immediately set free from it. Other things are... It's a progressive process. We are set free little by little and day by day. Alright? But it's a progressive process. That process of sanctification. It's a progressive process. The power of sin is broken progressively as we die to self. As we die to self. In other words, we do not feed our self-gratification desires. We don't feed our self-gratification desires. We die to self and yield to the control of the Holy Spirit. Because, remember, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of sanctification. He's the one who convinces us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He's the one who enables us to overcome sin as we ask Him to help us. Very important. Very important. It's a progress. You know, some of us, we are struggling in certain areas in our lives. We are struggling. And sometimes we don't understand that it's a progress. The fact that you still have that problem, you still have that struggle, it does not mean that you must judge yourself and condemn yourself. But what it means is that you must ask the Holy Spirit to help you to overcome that struggle. Ask the Holy Spirit to change you, to transform you, to help you. Amen? So as we die to self and yield to the control of the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at this scripture. This scripture here always challenges me. Always challenges me. It says, but when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil. What do you think about that? Somebody comes to the altar and they give their life to Jesus. They say they are saved. They say they are saved. They make some confession, they repeat some things, and they are prayed for, and they say, I'm saved. But you say, keep on sinning. What this is talking about is that you have made a commitment to follow Christ, and then after that, you keep on sinning. Are you with me? That's a problem. So it says, but when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. Wow. They belong to the devil. Now, the truth is that there are some people who keep on sinning and they don't realize that they belong to the devil. Belong to the devil means that you don't necessarily even know that the devil have you, know. But when it says belong to the devil, it means that the devil have you under control. The devil has such people under control, and he's manipulating them, and they have allegiance to him. So it says they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But look at this. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Now, you know what that is implying? That people who keep on sinning, they are still under the power. The devil has power, you know. They're still under the spiritual power of the devil. When it says, but the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil, it means that Jesus came to break that power that the devil has over people, that causes them to keep on sinning. So, guess what? Some people are struggling, and they say, they blame themselves. They say, I can't understand why I can't control myself. I can't understand why I'm still doing this. But you see, the Son of God, who is Jesus, he came to destroy the works of the devil. So if the devil has a stronghold on any of us, it just means that power needs to be broken. Amen? You don't need to be condemned. I'm talking about people who are not happy with what is happening to them. Amen? It just means that power has to be broken. And Jesus Christ came to destroy the works, the power of the devil, because the devil can't do any works without his power. Amen? Hallelujah. So verse 9 says, those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning. Why? Anybody? Why is it that they don't make a practice of sinning? Is it because they are holy two shoe? You know why? Because the power of the devil has been broken. They are now free. Free from the bondage of sin. Amen? They are free. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning. Jordan, you with me? Because God's life is in them. Who is God's life? Louder for me. The Holy Spirit. Amen? In other words, the Holy Spirit is stronger than the devil. Amen? The Holy Spirit is stronger than the devil. And the Holy Spirit breaks the power of the devil. So guess what? You don't keep on sinning. Amen? And that way you are assured that you are part of God's family. Because it says, those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning. Because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning. They can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. Praise God. I saw somebody who used to come to this church. And they're living a life of fornication. And I said to them, when are you going to come back to God? They say, I never left God. I'm still with God. I say, oh? Can you imagine? What does that scripture say? Those who are born in God's family, they do not make a practice of sinning. But there is no room for condemnation, because what it says is that you can't help yourself, that Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil so you can be set free. Yes, now, as I was sharing on Wednesday night in Bible study, when you belong to Satan and you accept salvation and you turn your back on Satan, Satan don't like it. He's going to send demons. He's going to send demons to tempt you and to try and bind you up again. And there are certain, a stronghold. A stronghold is a very stronghold, you know. If you have a stronghold of pornography in your mind, let me tell you, it can take years to tear it down, you know. It can take years to tear it down, but you have to keep ripping and ripping and ripping and tearing and hammering. Why? Because you know it is not right. You have to strive. You have to struggle to enter in. It would be so wonderful if I could just, if I was being affected by a stronghold of pornography and I just say, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Loose me now. And after that, I just free. But not every time it go like that. Amen? Some strongholds are greater than others. So we have to strive. We have to struggle to enter in. And it's a process. So we are being saved. As long as we are in this life, we are being saved. We are in a race and we have to finish the race. But the good news is that we are not alone. That Christ is in us and Christ with us. And Christ came not to condemn us, but to destroy the very works of the devil that can make you go to hell. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. This is good news. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning. Why? Because God's life is in them. Praise God. The Holy Spirit. The Bible says, greater is he that is within me than he, that's the devil, that's in the world. Amen? We don't have to settle for a substandard life. God has given us Jesus Christ, who came specifically to destroy the works of the devil. Amen? Those who make a practice of sinning, that's devil works. That's devil works. And Valentine's Day coming up, the spirit of the world says, where is your Valentine? Where's your sweet Valentine? Let the devil know that your Valentine is Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Women are under pressure for Valentine's Day, not true? Well, praise God. Kelly said no. Wonderful. May all the women be like Kelly. Praise the Lord. Let's give Kelly a big hand. She said no. Hallelujah. Praise God. But let's hope when Kelly see the roses them and the chocolate next week, she keep firm. Amen. Hallelujah. This week. I hope you don't start wobbling. Boy, could I wait? Do you know, look a rose? Praise God. Amen. Amen. But Valentine's Day is the world. It's the spirit of the world. And Satan is the prince of the world. It's Satan's system. Amen. Praise God. If I wait for Valentine's Day to show my love to my wife, she says, run me. So where are you going at? Go away. One to the other 364 days. Amen. Every day must be a Valentine's Day. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hear that, Jordan? When you get married, every day must be a Valentine's Day. Amen. That will probably be the only thing you remember in the sermon, but praise God. Remember it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then, finally, future. Remember, it says, those that endure to the end shall be saved. Amen. I was saved. I am being saved. And if I reach the end, I will be saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So watch this. Glorification. That speaks of glorification. When Jesus comes and we are with Jesus, the presence of sin and the accompanying temptation is removed when we are united with Christ in glory. Hallelujah. That means we are saved. We made it. Amen? We made it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No more temptation. No more wickedness around us. Glory to the Lord God Almighty. Amen? What a wonderful Jesus. Amen? Praise God. So, brethren, we saw that, you know, salvation has three aspects to it. The past, praise the Lord, the present, and the future. Amen? And in the, you know, in a 100 meters race, the middle of the 100 meters, they call it the drive phase. The drive phase. If you don't drive right during that phase, you lose the race. And we have got to make sure that we keep in our lane. Amen? Our narrow lane. And by God's grace, let the Holy Spirit help us to destroy the works of the devil. Let the Holy Spirit help us to overcome the temptations of the devil. Amen? Praise God. Let us stand.